Okay. You all can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. So you will continue from where we stop, page 75, paragraph 4, Heart Sutta, short notes. Tell me, you got the mic? Yes.
Page 75, the fourth paragraph. But there is such a thing as life, even though it is only within the moment. As we have established earlier on, the past is already gone, hence it is not a reality anymore. Similarly, the future has yet to happen. So it is also not a reality. Hence, the only reality in existence is only the present moment. Thank you. It's only the present moment, and moment to moment, life passes by. What are you doing? Every thought just arises and passes away very quickly. So, as real as it can be, it is only within the moment when it arises. After that, it is gone, dead and gone. So do wake up and do not dream anymore. The phenomenal world of consciousness is not what you think. As long as you are not deluded to grasping and clinging, then you are okay and you won't be afflicted. So don't hold, don't grasp, and don't cling or attach to anything, even through memory. Then you will be free and peaceful always, without delusion and ignorance. You are beautiful. When you can see things as they are, then you will not be deluded by them. The form and mind will be clear to you, then there will be no more entanglement to cause you any more mental suffering. The reason being, the mind has awakened to the three universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha and anatta, hence no longer gullible. With heedfulness well established, the mind is constantly aware of all your mental movements and intentions. You will come to know how you are conditioned into negativity via your mind's delusion that conditions you to grasp and cling onto your five aggregates of form and mind as the I, me, and the mind. You will also come to know how your likes and dislikes comes to be by your reaction to what you see and perceive at the moment of sense experiences. When you lack wisdom or yoni somanasikara, wise attention at the moment of sense experience, you will come to experience all of the Four Noble Truths, the dependent origination or 12 links, and how your mind functions while witnessing the 12 links occurring within your mind. Always be aware within and develop the ability to use the trained mind in heedfulness to cultivate the penetrative wisdom born of the direct seeing, to clearly awaken to the three universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha and anatta, to liberate your mind. You will come to witness how all your feelings arise and pass away like a bubble. All of your perceptions, activities of mind and mental consciousness also exhibit the same characteristics of impermanence, leading to your ability to realize their anatta and suffering nature within all phenomena. Part 2, Heart Sutra, Lesson 21. Form does not differ from emptiness, page 51 to 57. 2.1. This concept of form is emptiness and emptiness is form is very difficult to grasp, and most people cannot understand this. There are also some Buddhists of the Theravada tradition who think that the Mahayana teaching is not authentic because they cannot accept the Heart Sutra teaching that said form is emptiness and emptiness is form. But for those who understand, there is no such problem because basically the Buddha's teaching on anatta as presented in the Theravada tradition also gives the same meaning for anatta as non-self, an empty nature of all phenomena, and sunyata or emptiness. For whatever that is impermanent, it is not a permanent unchanging entity that we can cling onto and say, this is me, or these are mine. That is, they cannot be owned and possessed. Ultimately, they are all mind-made and empty because form and mind are all conditioned arising. Hence, hey, know me, and hey, know you. Also, the Buddha always said, Rupang anicchang, Rupang anatta. Before something exists in space, there is only space or emptiness. So form does not have different characteristics with emptiness. So in form, you are able to see and understand the principle of emptiness and hence not get attached. If we go direct into the mind, then we will know that all knowing comes from mind, as mind is the forerunner of all things. So everything is only consciousness appearing and disappearing. So how real can it be? The reason why it is empty is just mental image conjuring by consciousness, which is like the great magician, as explained by the Buddha via his analogy of the five aggregates of form and mind. Part 3 Meditation 3.1 All phenomena, whether physical, mental or nature's phenomena, exhibit these three universal characteristics of impermanence, suffering state and non-self or empty nature. Take for example our in and out breath, our footsteps, our heartbeat, our feelings, our perceptions, our thoughts and consciousness, and our bodily vibration, etc. They are all continuously arising and passing away, following nature's law. See their appearing and disappearing, birth and death, rise and fall, and the moment of its arising, its sustenance and its disappearance clearly via the silent mind, in direct seeing, to awaken to their three universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha and anatta, so as to break free from sakkaya ditti of self-delusion. See clearly its condition arising, that is how when condition arise, the phenomenon comes to be, and how when the supporting conditions for its sustenance are still there, then the phenomenon will continue to exist, and how when any of the supporting conditions cease to be, then it will lead to the disappearance or cessation of that phenomenon. This will lead to the comprehension of its impermanence and non-self or empty nature clearly. Then you will come to understand that if you try to hold or cling on to things and want them your way, which is not nature's way, suffering will come to be. This is how you react to your sense perception via delusion that condition your evil roots to arise. Evil roots are the roots of all evil, hence they have the power to condition you into negativity via your evil action, speech and thoughts. This is the reason why heedfulness to understand all of this is very important. And with heedfulness, you will be able to constantly investigate the Dhamma as taught by the Buddha to confirm that they are the truth, hence re-establishing your faith and reaffirming your right view. The Buddha Puja or Buddhist devotional practice, as taught by the Buddha, are very useful practices recommended by the Buddha to help us develop the five spiritual faculties of Sadha, Viriya, Sati, Samadhi and Panya needed for us to receive and understand his teaching more easily. Silence your mind to do the Buddha Puja with very strong faith and confidence in the Buddha and his teaching via understanding who he is and how special and great he is. Then bow mindfully. This will develop a very strong, calm and composed mind, leading to the establishment of the Viriya and Sati. Then, with the strong Sadha and Viriya, you bow mindfully to pay respect or reverential salutation to the Buddha, to be conditioned the heedless thinking that you have arisen throughout the day, thereby calming the mind to develop the stable Sati or mindfulness within. The reason being, this constant bowing and chanting of the Buddha's name as practiced by the Mahayana can also help develop the very strong Sadha, Viriya and Sati needed to develop the wisdom. There are also many benefits that can arise because the bowing or reverential salutation is also a meritorious action. Then, apart from developing the faith, we can also make use of these merits to make the necessary aspiration to walk the path of Dhamma smoothly by avoiding all the fools and only meet up with the wise and the enlightened ones, so that Nibbana can be realized soon as possible. When we bow mindfully, with the very strong faith of Sadha and Viriya, our mind is very calm and very composed, thereby helping us to develop a very stable mindfulness or Sati much more easily, and it also leads us to cultivate humility. At the same time, we exercise our body. Sati is awareness before the knowing or the arising of thought, just a pure awareness within. So this bowing should be done with understanding. That is, we bow to establish mindfulness or awareness without thought, so that the body and mind move as one in perfect synchrony and or harmony. Once mindfulness has been established, use it to cultivate the four postures of standing, walking, sitting and lying down, then followed by the cultivation of Sati Sampajana or mindfulness and clear comprehension of all action and movements in the present moment to develop the initial Vipassana wisdom born of direct seeing of the three universal characteristics. Only then can we proceed with the contemplation of the four elements and the 32 parts within the physical body of ours, and the nine stages of
decomposition contemplation.
Thank you. To finish off the Kaya Nupassana cultivation, after Kaya Nupassana, we then proceed to Vedana Nupassana and Citta Nupassana, followed by finally Dhamma Nupassana.
Okay, next chapter.
22nd Heart Sutra Class 1.1. The meditative mind must not only be calm, but it must also be mindful and heedful within to develop the wisdom needed to liberate the mind. It is this meditative mind that is aware or mindful and heedful that can understand how the mind stirs and become afflicted via one's delusion and wrong view or ignorance that condition the evil roots to arise. It will come to understand its origination factor clearly as to how the evil roots comes to be. It will also come to understand that Before the inner roots are here, the mind was originally very peaceful. Everything arises naturally via conditions. Arising causes and all phenomena exhibit the three universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha and anatta. Then, via Dhammanupassana cultivation of the six internal and the six external sense bases, one will understand clearly how to trace the origination factors behind the stirring of the mind, and how one can retrospectively reverse it via wisdom. The moment your mind stirs, Dhammapada verse 1 will take its course, hence conditioning one's suffering like the wheel that follows the hoof. The meditative mind will understand how the mundane mind got caught. With understanding, it will no longer be deluded. To really see and awaken to the truth or understanding, one needs a very stable mindfulness. Take for example, a case where a Kalayamita's friend passed away suddenly at the age of 63 years old due to a heart attack. The Kalayamita said, "Today I am very sad." So I asked her why. She said because she has been a very good friend for the past 20 plus years. I asked her again, "Do you know why you are so sad? And who is sad? Who is the you that is sad?" As usual, she said, Attachment law.
The usual answer is that. But they haven't understood the Dhamma. Because you memorize the word. Attachment law. Deluded law. But do you understand? You don't. That's why I explained to her.
Then I said, Dharatyo said, "Most Buddhists answered this way, and because of that, very likely they will not develop the wisdom because they never inquire, reflect and contemplate deep into this Dharma that has arisen, as advised by the Buddha. Under the second turning of the First Noble Truth, the first turning is proclamation of the First Noble Truth of Dukkha, leading to Sutta Maya Panya. Then under the second turning, the Buddha said, this noble truth of Dukkha is to be understood, leading to Chitta Maya Panya. So the inquiry will enable her to investigate via mindfulness and heedfulness to realize that it is the mind that has been conditioned by her wrong view or ignorance that causes her to cling on to her thought that arises via her memories of her good friend of 20 plus years, hence confirming the Buddha's final summary of the First Noble Truth that states, in short, it is ignorance or delusion that conditions one's grasping to their five aggregates of form and mind that I call dukkha. So the cause of suffering, which is craving or grasping and clinging, conditioned by her
by her own
self-delusion or sakaya ditti, led her to cling on to her mental perception, memory, and consciousness that conditioned her pure feeling into sadness or suffering. It is only a form and mind, not so real, because all conditioned arising phenomena are not permanent, unchanging entities that one can cling onto and say, this is me, this is I, and these are mine. Do reflect deep into this and awaken to its three universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha and anatta to break free. Then we will understand that there is no one to be sad, and also no one born, no one dies. Contemplation and reflect deeply and inquire, why am I still so deluded? Why can't I wake up to this truth?
Okay, very good. So now we discuss this topic. Okay? So this example is very good because according to this lady, one of the Kalayamita, he said This lady that passed away is a very close friend. She has known her for 20 plus years. Yeah. And all of a sudden, at a relatively young age, 63, is it very young? Still young, huh? Wow, young, huh? Kehun really. 94, huh? Oh, yeah, still young, huh? So, she like couldn't accept that reality. But if you are a Dhamma practitioner, if you are a cultivator, if you understand the Buddha Dhamma, what is the first thing that comes to mind? What is that? First noble truth reality. Very good. Okay? There are eight reality. So death is one of the reality. Remember? The first four? Birth, old age, sickness, and death. Actually, the death is due to sickness because of cancer, according to her. So she kena two. Disease, death. So the Buddha's final summary is very clear, isn't it? When you deludedly, through Sakaya Ditti self-delusion, you cling onto the five aggregate of form and mind. So this one, she cling onto what? Which of the aggregate? Of course, it's the thought, but the thought is the second aspect of the five aggregate. So the five aggregate inside there, which aggregate he cling to? We go through the five, then you will know which one. First one is perception that perceives the friend. So what is that? Huh? The perception that perceives the friend, which aggregate is it? Sanya, wow, Kehun also know, you all still don't know. Wow, sadhu. That perception is sanya aggregate, isn't it? That's why it attached. And how does it arise? Through memory. And thought is respond to memory. That's why memory are your accumulated experiences. Then memory tell you what? My good friend, he is still so young. Understand or not? How can it happen? Then, of course, disease. So all this attachment to the five aggregate of form and mind, if you are not careful, you miss it. Because living beings tend to attach to the external form. And the external form is the external rupa that perception brings into mind. So it's the first aggregate of form, the external form. So he thinks that is real. Then he perceives it as her friend. Understand? So perception aggregate he cling. The form aggregate he cling. Then memory is what? Memory is actually your sankara activity. Your thinking. You recall through memory. That is what thought is all about. So three of the aggregate you cling. Then the feeling that arises, again you cling, the sadness, the unhappiness. So if you are a cultivator, straight away your mindfulness will feel it. Then the reflection and the contemplative wisdom should arise. What did the Buddha say? This body of ours is of the nature to grow old, get sick and die. For it has not gone beyond old age, sickness and death. And this is a reality. If it's a reality, why do you lament? You understand? You know what the Buddha advised people? When his own children in certain life pass away, the word he said, then later the wife also said, was so beautiful. He said, after somebody died, because there was a king that was around and asked him, who is the one that you are cremating? He said, my son, how come you don't cry? Then he answered the king, oh king. No, at first the king said he must be a naughty son. Understand not? Don't have filial piety. Then he answered, no, He is a very good son, Philobaiti. A very understanding son. Then how come you don't grieve? You are not sad. So the Buddha replied, whatever that is of the nature to arise is of the nature to cease. What has arisen has ceased. That is exactly the advice at the turtle stupa at the back. Everything is cause and effect, dependent, originating, condition arising. So whatever that arises is of the nature to cease. So what has been born has already come to pass. Then after that he adds, no amount of sorrow and lamentation can bring back the dead. That's why do you cry? Why do you lament? The reality is, death is a reality. Condition happen, death has occurred. That is the reality. That was what I told my son too. I said, it's only a thought. You like it or you don't like it, that is the reality. Your dead friend is no more. No matter how you cling, how you attach, how you think and become miserable, it is your thought, nothing else. That's why the next morning he wake up and come and thank me. Daddy, you are right, it's only a thought. And he become normal again. You understand? That's why when you have the words of wisdom, you have the Dhamma, you will not behave like a normal person. Then if you want to help of service, you can do something. You see whether the loved one who are afflicted by all this, where they are still deluded, they still haven't got the Dhamma, whether they need help or not. That is better. Then if you want to really benefit them, because they have affinity with you, you should really love and metta and wish them well-being. In whatever birth or existence they take, may they have a good rebirth. May the blessing of the Triple Gem be with them. But if they are not Buddhists, please, you don't go and tell a Buddhist, may the Triple Gem be with you. I tell you, they may not like, understand? So you need to be sensitive. So you modify instead of Triple Gem. May she have the causes and conditions to realize the truth so that he understand life, so that he will know how to live life and have the good life. I love that. It's better. You agree or not? Huh? Agree with that suggestion? So you are being sensitive, understand? You don't, after the loved one, what the hell are you doing? My sister is a Christian. No, you go ahead and recite, may the blessing of the Triple Gem be with him or her. Cannot. Very sensitive. Understand? Especially if they are Christian, they believe in God, and you tell him, may the blessing of the Triple Gem be with you, then you are amen to him. I tell you, you are looking for trouble. You have to be sensitive. So, a lot of these things, when you have the Dhamma, when you have the understanding, your mind can liberate. Your mind need not be afflicted. Your mind did not suffer. So, what I have explained to you is, I explain how the teaching actually explain how suffering comes to be. So when you trace back to the teaching, then when you understand, your faith is very strong. Because it stands up to investigation. Yeah, the final summary is so powerful. As long as you attach to the five degree of form and mind, you suffer. Then you also have security where you think you exist. You are her good friend. And it's a cultivator. No? That's why after I explained, this was many years back. Yeah? I think at least 5-6 years back. So when you have this understanding, you should reflect and contemplate on what the teaching is and on what I have told you. So when you have identified what other thing you attach, the rupang, external form, the perception aggregate, then the memory, which is sankhara aggregate, then of course you through your hearing, the hearing consciousness is the consciousness aggregate. Well, when you hear the memory recall, then you become afflicted. You become sad. That's like the moment she came to the Thursday class meditation. I remember, she told me, today I'm very sad, Radio. So I asked her why. She said, because she has been, I missed out one line. He said, my Kayamita passed away suddenly at the age of 63 years old due to a heart attack. See? Heart attack is disease, then death. Then the Kayamita said, she said, today I'm very sad. So I asked her why. She said, because she has been a very good friend for the past 20 plus years. I asked her again, do you know why you, in inverted comma, are so sad? Then who are you? Who is sad? Who is the you that is sad? This one is to throw to her what? The inquiry, for her to inquire, to contemplate, to reflect, and wake up. You understand? This is where the second turning wisdom can arise. So this is what I answer. And you know the standard answer is what? As usual, she replied, attachment law, deluded law, stupid law. Don't want to go and inquire, no? Don't want to find out. And you think you know. If you know, you won't be suffering. You won't be so sad, understand? That's why a lot of Buddhists, I find it very funny. When you ask them, what is the First Noble Truth? Life is suffering. Almost 80-90% all answer like that. Then I ask them back now, when did the Buddha teach this type of teaching? He teach there is a noble truth of suffering, which is the reality of life and existence. You only suffer provided you don't have the understanding of his teaching. He never said life is suffering. He said life can be wonderful. Suffering need not be. Enlightenment in the here and now before you die, you can realize it, Nibbana. And when you realize that, you can live the wonderful life of an enlightened being. So where actually did they come to this conclusion that life is suffering? Because they choose that word, no. Dukkha. First noble truth, the noble truth of dukkha. No? But he cling on to the word dukkha, no? Suffering. No? So to him, he go and believe what the other religion tell them. No? Why you want to study Buddhism? Why you want to learn Buddhism? They talk about pessimistic thing. Everything is suffering. Where got fun? Understand? No love involved. No all the what they call happiness of life and all those things. Everything is suffering. Then they are idol worshipper. They are very primitive, very traditional. They pray to what image and all those things. Then a lot of Chinese happen to be traditional Chinese, not exposed to the true Dhamma teaching, then we see how our parents accepted the Chinese tradition. Then it adds to the problem, understand? Die already, cry, lament, burn paper house, burn car, burn credit card, burn all the million-billion-dollar hell note, thinking that they will receive. That's why they laugh at you, understand? Then offer food, thinking that they can receive. You can't blame them. That's why when I saw my mother pray to all those dainty last time during the early day, then go to medium all those day, then everything is about negotiation. I help you, you help me. They pray, please help my children have to have good education, good result. If they pass exam, they do well, I offer you more. I slaughter chicken. I bring all the things that you like. Especially pocky. You know what is pocky? Siu chi. That roast pork. all the killing, everything, you know, then I look at it, I say, if this is Buddhism, I don't want to look at it. I never look at it, no, because of that. So after Mount Fire, I came out and searched. I went to all the other religions with my classmates, no, even to Baha'i, everything, and never go to Buddhist temple or Buddhism. Well, I saw what my mother did, and I said, if this is Buddhism, forget about it. Then after that, 1 year later in Lower Six, one of my classmates, a girl, the sister, she saw me every time when I visit the brother in the house. I like to sit alone, no? And I like to silence my mind when I'm not talking or discussing. Then she very observant, no? She later on, I think, became a nurse, I think. She passed me one book, no? What Buddhists Believe by Chief Reverend Kesari Dhammananda. The first edition, red book, thin one. Then I received the book, no? Then my first impression was, why did she give me this book? Because I don't want to look at Buddhism, correct? No? But then I understand, no? There must be a reason why she gave to me, you know? Of course, she is not interested in me, eh? Please, she's very pretty. A lot of people interested in her. But somehow, she gave it to me. I also don't know. It's parami, karma. Then when I receive it, out of gratitude, I open up the book and read. The first introduction page, straight away tell me that the Chinese tradition, all those things that my mother do, has got nothing to do with Buddhism, no. They are Chinese tradition, no. Oh, like all the thing that you all, the Hungry Ghost Festival, the Mooncake Festival, then everything got money behind one. That's why our Chinese tradition very good. Create a lot of economic activity, you know. Chinese New Year, buy thing, offer, give. Then have the good life. Then set firecrackers, dragon dance. A lot of fun in there. But a lot of money is being spent. But we enjoy it. We love it. Ang pao, everybody like it. But later on get married, now I have to give. I cannot collect already. See? So, this tradition to me is not bad. But the certain type of tradition, when we are young, we are conditioned, our parents will tell us, dark place, don't go. No. Why? Go ghost. That's why we all Chinese, go to ball, cemetery also panic. Hair on end. Fear. When at night, power failure, panic. They ask you to go. Last time, no proper toilet. Toilet outside of the house. You remember? At night, you have to go alone. Do your business there. I tell you, how many of you have experienced that before? A lot of fear. Even within my own house, there is at the back of the house, and my father want to save electricity, he put one, not 40 watt fluorescent tube, 5 watt bulb, no? So dim, no? And that is not at the toilet, the WC area and the bathroom, no? That one is the one hall outside, no? Where the air well is, no? Near our bedroom, no? Then you have to go in there, no? And it's very dark and very eerie. So because of the conditioning that I don't know the Dhamma, you sure scared. The fear, everything. Then when I read that statement, I was full of joy. Then I knew what my mother did is not Buddhism. So Buddhism I haven't seen. So I want to know what is Buddhism. Then I read on. The moment Chief Reverend stated in the book, the essence of the Buddha's teaching, the Four Noble Truths, the moment I read, I understood the whole thing. I straight away, the nature inside tell me, no need to search. This is it. Nobody, the nature inside tell me, 2,000 over years ago, can summarize all of his understanding and enlightenment into just Four Noble Truths that explain the whole of life, both mundane and supramundane, in such clarity and detail. How did I know that? The book didn't explain, no. He just stated the Four Noble Truths. No. And immediately I understood what that thing is. And like very familiar to me, you know, this one. That's why it's very different. Then after that, I don't need people to teach me. You know. I learn very fast. I learn from what I hear. Then later on, when I'm ready, supposed to move, when Kuan Yin came and said, you must move fast, not much time left. Then that time, the teacher come, the guy come, the book come, everything come. How did it happen? Nature. It's the causes and conditions that the nature has planted. That's why when it come, everything is there. Technically, my form and mind no need to do anything. I just have the understanding, I echo, I flow. Nature will pave the way and show me everything. That's why a lot of things you will come to understand when you develop the true cultivation, when you transform. It becomes so beautiful. Okay? So now this one clear. Yeah? Ah, very good. Sadhu. Let us rejoice. Eh? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let me read on. Eh? So at least you have a rest.
Part 2, Heart Sutra, Lesson 22. Form does not differ from emptiness. Page 57 to 61. 2.1. Anatta or non-self nature is also emptiness. If one realizes anatta or penetrates the understanding of true emptiness, then one can also become enlightened. Once awakened to true emptiness, then one will understand why the Heart Sutra said, true emptiness is wonderful existence. When thinking, one is clouded by what one thinks, hence no clarity to understand what is happening within the moment to awaken to the truth. As man can only do one thing at a time, that is either one is aware and silent within, heedful, or lost in thoughts, hence heedless. Living beings are most of the time preoccupied with what they think, plus all of their mind's reaction to the three evil roots that they create within their thought processes via their likes and dislikes, pleasant and unpleasant feelings and emotions that arise upon contact of mind within every moment of sense experiences. In the Diamond Sutra, it is said the mind must have no dwelling. Hui Neng understand this stanza when he heard it because Hui Neng mind is true mind. Reason why he was able to see things as they are via the silent mind without thought, as he was born without the mundane mind. If you create their thoughts, then there is good and bad for you to dwell on. So duality will arise because thoughts divide via words and concepts like gender, race, religion, nationality, right and wrong, good and bad, etc. Non-duality is the doctrine of true emptiness. With wisdom, one can see things as they are and can accept everything that happens as natural or the way things are. Hence, transcending all dualities that leads to reaction of mind. Knowing via thought is knowledge, whereas awakening via the silent mind without thought is enlightenment, which is an understanding, and understanding is non-rigid because it is not knowledge. No right and no wrong because everything is just the way it is. True suchness or ta-ta-ta.
So clear or not? Huh? Very clear, isn't it? You go back, read through slowly because some of you are still new and it hasn't sink in. So if you listen, maybe it has meaning to you then, but it doesn't go in because everything is read through very fast, understand not? Then you try to remember because you want to use your memory to remember. You scared you cannot remember. Forget about remembering. If you try to remember, you will not learn the Dhamma the correct way. It become knowledge. What is important is go back, read with understanding. I don't know what you all are trained. I was told by my son, they read very fast one. I think my daughter also. You read very slow. Then you are like me. I read things very slow one. When I want to understand, I read word by word one. And when there is truth, I will spend a lot of time reading it. Then I will keep on enjoying and rejoice. How come this author can be so wise? How come this word can be so beautiful? Because my nature understands. Then when there is something new which I haven't heard before, my nature will know that this one, there is deep meaning there. Then I will go and read. Then when I read slowly, I understand. The same thing happened when I was studying. How many of you study science? Nobody. Quite a number. Form 4, Form 5, and Form 6. Do you find physics easy? Physics is the most difficult subject. It's so new to us. From Form 3, you got no background about physics. Suddenly you go and study physics. And they teach you on. Speed can understand. Acceleration. Then circular motion. Gravity. Then all the fantastic theoretical physics. Then E equals to MC squared. How not to mong cha cha? Understand? Energy equals to mass square of speed of light. That's why all these are so difficult. But I like physics like anything. But when the moment I saw that textbook, so thick. I read with great interest. I read slowly. I want to understand. I read with understanding. That's why all the definition I mark on the whole book. The first book was so thick, I remember. Then I do revision, the Form 6 one, very fast. Even the Form 5 one also. Very fast. And because I mark them, I understand them now. And when I understand from first principle, I not worried the exam come out which way. I will know how to answer it. Because it's from first principle. I don't memorize question and memorize answer. So because of that, after I finish my exam, went to university, graduate, work, then my daughter grew up. When she was Form 4. How old is she? 16 years old. 16 years old. Then my Form 5 was before I graduate. How many years? Form 5, I went to Form 6, 2 years. Then, I went to university 4 years, 6 years. Then, I 1 year later get married, 7 years. So, 7 plus 16, 23 years later. You can remember your physics or not? 23 years later. And you ask her. She panicked, Form 4, she come. They all got tuition, additional maths and all things. He said, wow, the teacher cannot teach in the way that she can understand. She panicked, she came and said, don't worry. MIA, missing in action for half a year. Government school like that. So she panicked and she came back. Luckily, she come and see me. She talked to me. I never forced them to do anything. She know. My son also know. That's why anything, they will come and see me. They have faith in me. I don't interfere with their life, but I can help them. I can really, really let them understand, then they make the decision. So he came to me, panting. I said, don't worry, I teach you how to study. But the problem is, bahasa. I keep on using English term. Acceleration, how to define the 3 Newton's law. Then I have to teach him from her from basic, then MS also from basic. Then later on, when she understood what I say, she become very confident and she become very good. That's why she topped the class after that. Those who went for tuition got one incident. There was a past year question, additional maths. They don't know how to do. My daughter from first principle got the answer. Then she come back and share with me. Daddy, they're very interesting. I said, the question they don't know how to do. But I got it. Yeah, there is an answer at the back, understand? Oh, she got it. So this is how you learn. Read slowly. A lot of people are scared, not enough time. They read, they call what? Speed reading. They go for training on. How they read? They read the what? Oh, the field of vision. They one shot see 3 words, 5 words, 7 words. I one shot see 1 word, 1 word. That's why I read very slow. But I read with understanding. The moment I understand, I no need to read already. Finish. That's why the learning is really learn attentively. Learn to understand, not to memorize. That's why memory is knowledge. Always remember. Learn to develop understanding, which is wisdom. That's why everything, first principle. I know the basic assumption. I will know how this thing come about. Engineering also same. Reinforced concrete design. Everybody try to solve the past year series, get the answer. For me, different. The moment I get the textbook, I went to the lecture. The first introduction, the lecturer write on the whiteboard, which I saw in the textbook, the basic assumption behind reinforced concrete design. That is so important to me. You know what is mentioned there or not? The basis of reinforced concrete design is concrete and steel must interact. Otherwise, that design assumption not there, the concrete design will be wrong. It can lead to failure, catastrophe, and all things. Then only I understand that there must be proper anchorage. There must be proper bonding, or what they call the bond stress, to actually enable the concrete to grip onto the steel bar, so that when the loading is loaded, the steel bar can yield. Understand not? If they don't interact, the steel bar cannot yield. Cannot yield, then what happens? The concrete is very weak, no? Concrete is strong when you compress it. Understand not? But when it is a beam, it will crack easily. Understand? So what you need is the tension of the reinforcement, the steel bar, to hold it up with the link. That's why the steel and the concrete must interact. And I understand this, that's why I know design, I can go and supervise and check. And all my structure, beautiful. If you don't know all this, you go there, you look at the specification, you try to be a perfect guy, ideal. Hey, the drawing says so long, no? You better make sure your steel bar is so long. Then, the size like that, no? You reach it until you don't have the under. When I look at the drawing is wrong, I know. The anchorage not enough, I know. That's why straight away, I will talk to the consultant or I will ask the office to amend, change. Or at the site, I will give another detail and ask them to follow this. Less steel bar, less reinforcement, yet safer. Because you know the basis behind. Then I was very good in fluid mechanics, soil mechanics. That's why I understand design, foundation very well. And soil mechanics is very difficult. You are everywhere soil condition different. And Kuala Lumpur, you know, the worst foundation that foundation engineer scared is limestone. You heard of limestone formation? Underneath the ground where you want to put your building, there can be a cavity 50 feet empty, void inside there, cavity. We did a few. One of them is the Tan and Tan building. A lot of cavity inside there. So when we did, we asked for 40 over borehole within one building. They say you must be crazy. The architect also commented. He said, you can't sue until like that. The normal building, not more than maximum 6 or 8 borehole. Then they will do the design. You know what we told them or not? We checked the geological map. You are in that limestone formation, KL area. And there is a lot of cavity. So later on, we have to explain to them. 40 over borehole, how much? One borehole maybe 1,000 plus. 40-year-old borehole, 60-year-old thousand. Your whole building, almost 80 million. You want to save on this. Then finally you say, okay, small money. Luckily they did the borehole. No? You know what we did or not? Every column point, we whack one borehole in. Then we found cavity. Then we design our foundation differently. We put in the steel sleeve and all those things. Do what they call a tremi pile. At first, the client, the architect don't believe. Until the contractor bore, drill. When he hit the cavity, his whole metal casing straight away dropped like a free fall. No need to bore anymore. And that whole thing disappeared. Then only the client panicked. Hey, don't play a fool. He told the contractor, you better check everything with the consultant. Now want to do more borehole also can. Just do. People are like that. And do you know, underneath that cavity, the limestone, got running water stream one. No? It's like you went to limestone cave before. Right? The Thailand one, the kid, the student got trapped inside. Right? All these are limestone with the river flowing. But during dry season, no water one. Wet season, the water come. You think engineer easier? Not easy, you know. You don't have the understanding, I tell you. This is hell, man, and you make mistake. Then you have to pay. Let's say we don't have that understanding and we take up the job. I tell you, you'll be in hot soup, man. You don't know what to do after that. Then after that, we insist they have to seal the base, tremming it. Otherwise, whatever concrete you slip down when you do the tremming piling, all the concrete will not stay there. It will be drained away. That's why we ask them to weld very long steel sleeve until you reach the soil layer again. And down there, where your building is supposed to last 100 years now, do you know what is underneath there? You don't know. And anything can happen. So we insist, when we anchor the pile, it must be at least 6 meters of solid base. Then that time, how many borehole also can? Then we ask the soil contractor, come, go and do the borehole and see how deep. We say, if don't have 6 meters, go down some more. It's going to cost them a bomb. At that time, they don't worry about money. They say, do, just do. Make sure the building is safe. Like you got money, you can't see. You go and see doctor, they ask you, you want which type of medication? This one is the best, very expensive one. This one cheaper. You got money, use the best. It's your life, understand? If it's not your life, like the architect initially, together with the client, he said, where got people make so many boreholes? One building project only, what? You scared, you can't sue. But they don't understand. So Dhamma is the same. When you don't understand, you simply comment, understand? Chan can become enlightened. You comment. Well, you don't understand. But when you understand, you look at it, it's the beauty of understanding how they do it. And their way is really the fastest. Do you know Pure Land Buddhism finally become the most popular? Even Xu Yun Lao He Sang, 120 years old, finally, after he go through Mahayana, he joined Pure Land. A lot of the masters finally go to Pure Land. Why? You think they all don't understand? Because they know this is the fastest, easiest. But you must know how to chant, understand? The other example I always give, I saw on the internet, I think you all have seen before, about I think it's a submarine. Then that, don't know, a ship or submarine got problem, understand? Then they get all the experts come check, don't know what happened, cannot get it started. Then finally, one mechanic, they say very good one. Everywhere, they say he is very good. So they found him. They asked him to come. He inspect. Then he said, okay, I will do it for you. He take one hammer inside there. Then he go somewhere. He knock. Knock, knock, knock. Clear the thing. Start the engine. Boom, the whole ship start. They say, so easy. Take hammer, knock, knock, knock like that. Then the bill came. No. I think he charged him 500,000. No. He said, can you give me a breakdown? How you charge? So he said, bring the hammer, knock 500. Knowing where to knock, 495,000. Knowing where to knock. That makes him different. That's why he has his value. That's why you must get the best of the best when you want to do something. And when you want to learn, you learn from the best. Unless you have your path, then you can learn yourself. That's why it's important to have good guide, good teacher. Yeah. Without real Kayanamita who has the Dhamma, you can never learn the true Dhamma. Very difficult. Unless your path is very unique, very special. Okay? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So today you listen to a lot of story. Oh, still got time, never mind. Okay, Tammy. I want to let Tammy rest because just not speak until the voice also starts.
Thank you.
Okay.
Part 2, Heart Sutra Lesson 22. Form does not differ from emptiness, page 57 to 61. 2.1, Anatta or non-self nature is also emptiness.
This one we cover already. Yeah, we have finished that one.
Sorry.
But the Diamond Sutta also.
The fourth paragraph.
Yeah, the fourth paragraph, yes. Okay. Dhammapada verse, yeah.
Dhammapada verse 183 states that all evil is to be avoided. Do good and purify the mind. And this is the advice of all Buddhas, which all Buddhists must follow. To purify the mind, one must develop the enlightenment factors of equanimity and samadhi, to see things as they are. Then, with wisdom, one will come to understand that things are just the way they are, and there will be no good and evil, right and wrong, wholesome and unwholesome, etc. In meditation, no right, no wrong, because deluded person will say deluded things. Angry person will say angry things. So accept them for what they are. We are perceiving them with equanimity. When you perceive a life situation with negativity or without equanimity, you will react and your mind will stir to bring about suffering to all, including yourself. The Buddha said, in the seeing there is only the seeing consciousness, and there is no one to see. An external form arises through consciousness. So do wake up to this reality via the pure awareness to see clearly that mind is the forerunner
of all things.
Thank you. Mind is the forerunner of all things and mind is chief. Everything arises when mind arises. Then when we understand that we can reverse all this mental creation, we are returning all external mental creation to mind consciousness. Then mind consciousness to the pure awareness. And then pure awareness back to the great void, which is emptiness. Via realizing the cessation of form and mind, which is Nibbana. Then we would have understood the whole mystery of nature's creation. If all phenomena can be returned to mind consciousness, then to pure awareness, and then finally back to true emptiness, it means they are all not so real. All created by mind via consciousness, and mind made are they. Hence the phenomenon world is a world of consciousness, and they are all really empty.
So now you understand, very clear, Because if it's not transcribed out, if it's not in written form, I tell you, even if I share 100 times, you can never receive. I have to draw diagram and all those things. Yeah. And that time when I teach, when I share, there is no book that write about it. There is no diagram anywhere. And all this I have to come out with my own, through my own understanding. That's why it's not easy. And the condition so happen is appropriate and so conducive. That's why this teaching want to come out. Then it just come out. They just invite me over to share at that place. And that place of Mahayana temple. You know? And I'm a more chair one, no. Banana one, no. Go to a Mahayana temple and teach Hatha Sutta. No. Everybody also panic, I tell you. That's why the Sushyong there questioned me, you know. You dare to teach? Huh? He's the most senior. I also dare not teach. Huh? What jhana you have? I told him, I don't have any jhana. Huh? No jhana you want to teach? Huh? But luckily, misunderstanding or resolved. But later on, he asked me, who are your teacher? Oh, then I mentioned those Thailand ones. Because I know he also got some understanding of the Thai tradition. Wow, when I mentioned those, he become different. Then the wife also cautioned him. Every time he has his own understanding, then he think his one is the correct one. So he keep on questioning me. You know. Then before I answer, another question come up. Before I answer, another question I ask. Then every time I answer, the wife was at the side listening. Then the wife knew what I explained is very different from other people. Then he told the husband, why not you stop your question first? Let Brother Teo explain. Then only he start to turn around. Because he start to listen. Then every time he want to say something, the wife tell him not to. That's how finally we came to a understanding. Then after that, Miss Lee text me, but your good news. Su Seong say, no problem, you can come and teach. So that one was a very good one. So whatever it is, don't worry. When the condition is like that, things will be like that, huh? Like what I wrote on the whiteboard. Think also like that, don't think also like that. So that word, non-standard English, but good for me, useful. You can understand it, that? Huh? Can understand? We all Malaysian sure can. Okay, tell me, continue.
Beyond mind, there is no creation and no suffering. That is, without mind, there is no form, no perception, no feelings, no sankhara, hence no karma, and no creation via mental consciousness. Cognition via mental perception is all mind-made, hence phenomena and perception are all linked. They are all impermanent, leading to suffering and anatta or empty.
So the front part, very familiar, similar to Hatha Sutta or not. Huh? Beyond mind, there is no creation. That's why there is no suffering. And without mind, there is no form. You remember Hatha Sutta? No form, no four noble truth, everything also don't have. So that is what it is. No perception, no feeling, no sankhara, no karma, no creation, via mental consciousness, cognition, via perception. Oh, sorry. Cognition via mental perception, they are all mind-made. Hence, phenomenal and perception are all linked. Then the whole of this is impermanent, leading to suffering and anatta nature or empty nature of the phenomenal world. Okay, you continue.
The pure awareness before the knowing, or essence of mind which can be aware of the silence of nature, is not a conditioned arising phenomenon. Hence it is the unconditioned and also your true mind. But it is not a permanent unchanging entity that you can call the me and the I. But the mundane condition arising mind needs sense data in the form of vibration for the arising of the hearing consciousness to perceive. Hence is conditioned arising nature of the phenomenal world.
So this one is a very important understanding, because the silence of nature, how did you perceive it? How can you develop the awareness of silence? Your normal hearing consciousness is what? You need the vibration, the sense data to hit it in it. Then you can hear it. But silent, no vibration, no sound, nothing. So that one is without condition. It's not dependent originating. Then who is aware of that silence? Who? That is your true mind, your essence of mind. That's why the essence of mind can be aware of silence. Because it don't need condition to arise. That is not the mundane mind, you understand? That's why the awareness is there. The essence of mind is there. And that is the unconditioned. So you have to be with your true mind, with your essence of mind. You have a nature that is capable of being aware. No need sense data. It's not dependent originating. That is the true mind. You understand? Why no response? Too difficult to understand. Huh? Huh? Blah, blah. It's very easy to understand, isn't it? What I tell you can understand and comprehend easily, isn't it? What is hearing consciousness? The Buddha said dependent originating. You must have an organ. Organ we have. Okay? Then you need what? You need the vibration, the sense data. Then it triggers hearing consciousness. Then you need a mind to make contact and trigger hearing consciousness. Any of the condition not there, it cannot happen. Like the passing car. When it's nearby, you hear. To you, it's real, exists. But when it go beyond, it doesn't exist. It's not real. But to a person further down, he hears, isn't it? It still exists, isn't it? Because that hearing is within the range. You can detect it, but the vibration is still there. So all these need condition. So any other thing not there, you cannot hear. Like your mind, separate from the form, the dead man got ear, got organ. He just died. But why? He can't hear, because he don't have mind. Then somebody deaf, the hearing got problem, got vibration, got mind, make contact, but no hearing consciousness. Because the condition behind all three must be there. You understand? But when it comes to silent, they got sense data. Understand? No vibration, nothing. Your eardrum not hit at all. Then how did you arrive hearing consciousness? You didn't hear anything. But you have experienced the silence of nature, isn't it? Correct or not? Middle of the night, all of a sudden, when the car traffic all like become very reduced, all of a sudden you have that feeling it's very quiet. Well, because of that, my children like to study middle of the night. One, you ask them and see. Yeah. And just now in the meditation this morning, I remember there was a moment all of a sudden the whole thing like quiet still. You perceive it? Huh? You already perceive it? You perceive that, tell me. Huh? Suddenly, the whole of the vibration, where there's a lot of running water every day, then all of a sudden, the major sound gone. No? Then there's a sudden, like shift of consciousness, sudden silence. That's why when you are aware, you are sensitive, you will experience all this. You will be able to be aware of all this. Let my daughter talk.
I thought of your analogy, yeah. Your favorite picture. I don't know how to draw it well, the light bulb one.
Okay.
How to... the battery, yeah. Connect to a light bulb. The switch.
This light bulb. So this light bulb,
you just draw like that. This light bulb, you just draw like that. Okay. Then, when the switch is on, contact, then the light bulb lights up. Okay.
Yeah. This one explain the silent thing. So this one maybe the ear, this one maybe the sound, and you turn
no,
on perception.
This
which one
is
idea?
Organ.
This is the organ.
Yeah. Then this one is the power bank. This is the consciousness.
Consciousness.
This is the contact. The mind go to the ear.
The mind go to the ear. So the battery is the power source. It's like the consciousness inside. And that's that one is the power source. So this one go to this light bulb, which is your organ. And this light bulb is your organ. So let's say it's your ear, hearing. Okay? Then this contact is the mind move to the hearing organ. Just like what happened to Pauliana. Yeah? Remember? At first he said, why Brother Teo got all the chipping sound, all the birds, everything. But she meditated, she can't hear anything. Then she tried to hear. How? She go to the ear. She focus very hard to hear. Then he hear very soft chipping. Very far, very soft chipping. Then all of a sudden, become loud. And he doesn't know why. Because still new. Didn't have the understanding. That's why after that, I explained to her. I say, you are preoccupied inside. You are not aware. You are not relaxed. You are busy with your inner world. That's why you cannot be aware of outer world. So this one, I passed to my daughter.
So if there's, if this is when there's sound. So what happened when there's, so what happened when there's no sound? That means, there's.
There is contact, but no. There is light bulb. There is contact, but there is no sense.
Nothing going through.
There is no sense data. There's no sense data.
Then, how do we know there's nothing to show? You know, you connect everything already. You think something wrong. Why not working? Have you done experiment, electrical experiment? But everything, why not nothing? But if you depend on the light to know, you will think it's not working one. But how come you know it is not working? You know silence. So I think that is how I understand the deeper consciousness knows silence.
You can also use this analogy because the consciousness, the physics experiment is not a perfect analogy, understand? It's a very good analogy to let you understand that this is all natural, dependent, originating, that it light up. Understand? But as a science student, we know this battery power the current, understand? When the current moves through, then the light bulb lights up. So this current is like our sense data. Understand? So what my daughter is trying to explain to you is correct. Very likely this battery, the consciousness, is unable to send the current through because there is no sense data. You understand? Means the conductor, the wiring, maybe, the sense data part is not there. You understand? So because of that, this light bulb does not light up. That's why he say, the light bulb does not light up. But the essence of mind, which is not consciousness, which is the awareness, which is beyond this condition arising, three entity or condition that cause whatever, hearing consciousness, seeing consciousness, smell, taste, tactile and thought consciousness. When the three conditions are not there, means it's not dependent originating. You understand? So it's not a phenomenon. But what is happening is, the one that is aware of the silent. Silent means everything not working, understand or not? So when the mundane mind completely quiet, cease, no distraction, nothing, then the awareness within, the true mind, the pure awareness, is capable of being aware. But this one, no word one, aware only. So the thing that is aware, how do you know it's silent? Because you introduce, through your knowledge, a word to explain that that is silent. And that silent, you know, got no sense data. Your true mind is the same. When all the thinking stop, suddenly you realize it. It's not to say that it was not there. No. It was there all the time. But you forgot who you are. Actually, from there, the source come out. The first one is the pure awareness, your true mind. Then from there, it creates the mundane mind. Then from the mundane mind, it creates the phenomenal world of form, external form. That's how the creation come about. So because you don't have that understanding, that originally you were that. A very good example is, I used to share this. Let's say when you are young, you stay in a small town, or a kampong. Then suddenly, somebody take you away from the kampong. Understand? Then you came out to the city, you study, you grow out, you work, you marry, you have children. Then you forgot that you came from a small town. Then you enjoy your life in the city. Quite similar, the analogy. So what is happening is, what happened to you is worse than that. It's not small town. You go Holland, understand not? You go wrong way, everywhere go wrong, go Holland. Then don't know how to come back, but Holland is so far. Where is Malaysia also don't know. You only maybe got an idea that, you came from Malaysia. Your small town also you cannot remember. How you know where, which part of Malaysia that small town is? So you completely lost because you are lost in thought for so long. The birth and death, so many aeons and aeons and aeons of birth and death. That's why you have fallen. You have lost track of who you are. So that true nature, your original nature, you also don't have any understanding at all. That's why all the time you have been living life with your mundane mind, your thinking mind. And that is the one that makes you more and more deluded. Make you more and more afflicted. And because of law of karma, that one, the form of mind is subject to law of karma, you keep on coming for eternity, birth and death. That is what samsara is all about. So meditation is to reverse all this, to return of all external phenomenal world to mind. Like Hui Ling said, your mind move. Understand not? Your mind move. So the external phenomenal world is the external form, form dhamma. So when you return all of your creation back to the mundane mind, then this mundane mind, you start to understand, like the Buddha said, this is the source of all creation. Mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. When mind arises, everything comes to be. You understand? Then this mind, because of your delusion, you attach, you cling, because this is five aggregate. You think this is you. That's why you refuse to die. That's why you create delusion, attachment, and karma bring you back again and again because of avijja, ignorant, rebirth. But when you understand that this is not real, not you, this is constantly creating, then you know how to silence and cease. And the moment that one ceases, you realize your true mind. Then you know you are not the thinking mind. You are not the mundane mind. You are the pure awareness. But this pure awareness is also not really you. Because this one also will cease when you realize Nibbana, enlightenment. And this one return to the source, the oneness nature. So all this, you have to meditate to understand. And when you realize the unconditioned, you know what the source is. You know what Nibbana is. You cannot talk about it because it's the unconditioned. No words can describe it. Like the Tao. Tao ke Tao. Fei chang Tao. Whatever that can be described, talked about, or expressed is not the true Tao. But nothing is apart from the Tao, understand? Your everything is from that source, it comes. That's why Hui Ning say, how amazing that all Dhamma arise from that nature. And that nature itself is already perfect. That's why Putsen Putjian in the Heart Sutta. No addition, no subtraction, nothing. Everything is already perfect, full. So this is how meditation can lead to such profound understanding, penetrative wisdom that will allow you to come to this existential world and live life beautifully, wonderfully. That's why true emptiness is wonderful existence. And that is the deep meaning. In order to understand life, you have to understand the nature. Without the nature, it cannot have the direct seeing to awaken, to develop the wisdom for you to understand life. But this wisdom is very strange. No? You don't think it will follow you forever. No? Every form of mind come, you have to meditate and connect, then only the wisdom arise. You understand? But the moment this form and mind die, separate, the wisdom also cease. You understand? That's why not easy to cultivate. Every life bodhisattva come, they have to connect, then inherit, then go back to their past cultivation level, then from there continue. So every life you come, how much time do you have? Huh? How much time do you have? I got my last teacher, he told me, Theo, do you know we are very lucky? I say, I know. He said, to reach that point, that gateway to our nature, most people, by the time they reach there, at least 80 years old. That is what he told me, you know, at least 80 years old. He said, we are so different, we are so blessed. So young, you can understand all this. That's why he liked me. He said, the whole universe, two of us enough. We can talk until cow come home. No need anybody. Oh. So this type of understanding is very, very rare. And if you can connect so young, means you have your past. Like Sakyamuni, age 35. Yeah. Me, also exactly age 35. 1989 minus 1954. 35 years old. Yeah. Which means I was ahead by 15 years about. Yeah. If I were to find out myself, if I don't meet my last guide, it would take me at least another 15 years. So which means I also hit it at 50. Yeah. No need 80. Yeah. Yeah. So a lot of these things, if you cannot understand, don't try to understand. Yeah. Like PG say, not there yet. Like when I heard from my teacher, one of the teachers, he said, finally, it's only pure awareness. If I don't teach you this, you think you can understand that statement or not? Finally, it's only pure awareness. Huh? Because when you return, external phenomenal world to mundane mind. Understand or not? Then mundane mind return to pure awareness. That's why finally, when my mundane mind collapse, the super mundane mind is just pure awareness. That nature just shine forth. If you have not gone through, if somebody who has not gone through and explained to you, you think you can understand or not? That teacher that told me, never draw this diagram for me, you know. You understand? Never tell me you can return all this thing wrong. He just tell me, finally it's pure awareness. Like now I tell you, finally it's the unconditioned, Nibbana. How are you going to understand? And what you used to try to understand, the thought. Understand? Huh? How can the thought understand that which is way beyond thought? So this is the part about Dhamma. When you have that faith, don't worry. You just listen, no need to like believe. You listen. But when you do the cultivation, when you pass through, then you suddenly connect and the understanding comes, what I say will come out. It will come out, manifest. Then you know. All this is what the teaching is all about. So, don't worry. If it's the truth, when you go through, like PG say, not time yet, haven't understood yet. But when you understand, you will understand what I say. Well, all this teaching come from the silent mind, the true mind. If you have not realized it, you cannot understand. You only have knowledge. The Mahayana also mentioned, I think on the what you call that one, the black color with the word on. Huh? Portrait. Huh? The Mandarin word on. Ah, song. Show Taban Naga. Ah, Ming Samo. Ah, Chen Sing Seng Po. You see the Mahayana is very wise. Ming Sing Chen Sing. You have to realize your nature. And you can only realize when the true mind arrives, the bright true mind with awareness, clarity. Then the other one that Guang Qing Lao He Sang says, you have to realize 不生不灭. You know what is 不生不灭? Those who know Mandarin will know. 生, you know, birth. No arising, no ceasing. That is the unconditioned. Everything within the condition, 生灭, 生灭. Understand? No? Jason don't know Mandarin. Oh. 生 is birth, death, birth, death. We have condition arising. When condition arise, phenomena arise. When condition cease to be, it cease to be. That's why it's all birth and death, birth and death, birth and death. But when you realize the unconditioned, which is the enlightenment, Nibbana, there is no birth and no death. 不生不灭. No arising, no ceasing. Nothing. And the Mahayana say, if you don't realize your true nature, 明心见性, you can never understand the Dhamma. That's why you must awaken to that true nature. You must realize that true mind. That's why Hui Ling straight away take you to the true mind. He said, the first thing you have to do about cultivation is to realize the three hallmark that he realized. First one is no thought. No thought means true mind. That's why you must allow the mundane mind to see, silent. Then automatically that one shine for you. That was there all the time. Then after that, as you continue to cultivate, the second hallmark is no mark. No mark of a self-cultivating. No mark of living being. No mark of life. Very profound. Then after that, your mind transforms. Then your mundane mind collapses. Then not only no mark, the mind has no dwelling. It doesn't dwell anywhere. Well, this mind is already different. Not only non-grasping, no, there is no mundane mind that can hold things anymore. No more. Completely different. So when you realize that three hallmark, your cultivation is completely different. The amount of blessing, wholesomeness that come with this understanding in the Diamond Sutta is mentioned. The mundane type of even the sainthood way cannot compare. He said, if a cultivator were to have the seven treasure in this universe, means a lot of them, and they were to offer all these seven treasure to all the Sammasambuddha of the three period of time, that amount of merits, great or not? Yeah? That type of merit is very, very immense, isn't it? Very, very great, isn't it? But do you know in the Diamond Sutta it said, whoever who can understand the four stanza in the Diamond Sutta and teach it to the world or people, the wholesomeness, the merit and the blessing that arise is way, way beyond all this cultivator who offer the seven treasure to all the Sammasambuddha of the three period of time. You can offer to one you already, exceptional already, understand? You not only meet the Sammasambuddha, you also have the seven treasure and you can make offering. And that type of parami is very, very good. But this one talk about all the Sammasambuddha of the three period of time. Your merit still cannot match. Well, this is still conditioned world mundane merit, not the supramundane. So the supramundane is wisdom, liberate the mind. So the fourth stanza is, Yi qie yu wei fa, zu meng huan pao yin, zu lu yi lu dian, ying zuo lu si guan. He said, all conditioned Dhamma all conditioned Dhamma are like zu meng. Meng is dreamlike. Huan is illusion. Pao is shadow. Pao is bubble. Ying is shadow. So, all conditioned Dhamma are dependent originating, condition arising, each year you wave out. And they are like Zu Meng Huan Pao Yin. So this is very profound. Dreamlike, illusion, bubble, and shadow. And sometimes it's 如露亦如电 It's like a dew, a morning dew. Very transient. And a lightning flash. It's already over. That's why I told you the only reality is the moment. Split second is gone, like a lightning flash. Gone. 如露亦如电 You should contemplate it thus. You understand this. You have the ability to share and teach. You are the exceptional one. Your parami is different.Your understanding, your cultivation is completely different, way beyond. That's why I say, like the fifth patriarch said, don't be too eager to chase after tinted merit. You understand now? The problem of insistent life and death is so much more important. That's why he told them, don't waste your time anymore. Strive on with faithfulness. Cultivate to realize that thing.So don't chase after tinted merit. Tinted merit doesn't free your mind. And that one still limited. But when you have a moment of pure thought, it's way beyond all this tinted merit. Just one moment of pure thought, no. Without evil root of greed, hatred, and delusion. No. The merits that arise from a cultivator who is able to have that one moment of pure thought is very, very high.So don't be too eager to do merit, understand? Everywhere, chase here, chase there. Realize first, then immediately, the way you live life, the way you understand life, the way you do things, that merit is beyond comparison to the normal one. Cannot compare at all. Then after you really go the bodhisattva way, your cultivation is even more different. Then that time, you don't evenwant to do merit anymore. Unless got condition, nothing will happen. Because to you, this type of worldly merit, no more meaning, Anasana. Why you want to do all this? What you are concerned is with the understanding that will allow you to cultivate in a different way, completely different. That's why that teaching, the Diamond Sutta, Sixth Patriarch Platform Sutta, is very, very profound, very unique.That's why we covered them. We already completed them. That's why the book also come out. Heart Sutta. But Sixth Patriarch Platform Sutta, because too many lessons. So we managed to transcribe not that many. But also quite a number, I think. If I'm not wrong, at least got 10 of the lessons, 10 chapters. But they are all very beautiful books. The yellow book. Don't think they are the same. No. Cover look the same.But look at the lesson. Lesson one. They are all different. There is the one lesson 75. Still not finished yet. So all this, you should go to the website, listen, or get the textbook. Okay? The transcript book are at the back. Okay. What time? Oh, you're 9 o'clock already. You all need to do chanting or not?Metasutta, Ingvi is here, come. Okay, we stop here. So we stop at page Sadhu, Sadhu, Sadhu. We stop at page 80. We finish part 2. Okay, good. Okay, AB, come. You use this mic.
The other wireless? Ah, tell me there. How much is
that?
Huh?
She?
She? You 会站吗？
喂，他每天都站的，人家刚才讲，刚才学历。
What page? What page is it, Arthur?
52.
52. Yeah, 52. Yeah, Karan Yama Tansuka. Where is the cutlass? Ah, okay. Three of them. Open up. Use mine,
lah. No, I have.
Ah, okay.
Oh.
Yeah, please. Yeah, order. I ring the bell and we'll start.
Karaniya mata kusalena yang tang santang padang abisame ce sako uju ce suju ce suvajo ca semudu anati mani santu sako ce suvaro ce apaki cho ce salahu kebuti santindriyo ce nipako ce apagabo kulesu ananugito na ce kutang sama care kinci yena vinyu pare upavade yung sukino va kemino hontu sabbe satta bhavantu sukitata ye keci pana bhutati tasavata varava anavasesa digavaye mahantava majjima rasakanukatula ditta vayeva additta ye ca dure vasanti avidure bhuta vasambhavesiva sabbe satta bhavantu sukitata na paro parang nikubbeta na limanyeta katta chinang kanchi biaro sana patiga sanya nanya manya sadukka micheya mata yatha niyang putthang ayusa eka putta manurakhe evampi sabba bhutesu manasang bhavaye aparimanang mettañca sabba lokasmin manasang bhavaye aparimanang uddang adocha tiriyañca asang badang averang asapathang tittang charang nisinnova Sayano vayavata savigata medho etang sating aditeya brahma metang viharang idamahu dittincha anupagamma silava dasanena sampanno kame suvineyagedam nahi jatu gabbaseyam punareti ti etena sacca vajena soti te hotu sabda etena sacca vajena saparogo vinasatu etena sacca vajena hotu te jaya mangalam sadhu sadhu sadhu.
Thank you so much. Where do you all find the etena sacca vajena? Oh, the other chanting book, no wonder. This one don't have. Huh. This one is short. Huh? Our retreat chanting book is short. Okay, this Metta Sutta is very good. Huh? So before we end, I explain this. Then after that, I need to do share merit and transfer merit. You see on the whiteboard, there is a Mr. Chua Ing Hua, Brother Frederick's Freddie Chua, with Alicia's husband, eldest brother. He just passed away because of cancer too. Sickness, disease. So very common. So they have the condition. So Freddie have contacted Alicia. He hope we can help transfer merit, share merit, and give him the good condition to have a better rebirth and better life hereafter. Okay? So, I do that first before I share this. Okay. Better do that first before I forget. Okay, let us compose our mind. Let us rejoice in all the wholesomeness that we have developed throughout the retreat. And for those who just come for the half session of the day from noon onward. We would like to share and dedicate these merits to all beings. And the first one is to maybe arise the causes and conditions for Mr. Chua Ing Hua, which is Freddie's eldest brother, to have a better rebirth. Then, with whatever condition that he is going through, may these merits be shared with him so that he can receive them and help him to have a better life in the hereafter. And if that is possible, may he also have the causes and conditions to learn the truth so that he can understand life and live the appropriate wholesome life to develop the well-being and happiness. Then we just rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then our transfer merit, sharing merit with the Deva, we do after the sharing of this one. Okay, Metta Sutta. This is a very important sutta. I read to you the reason behind this sutta. Some 500 monks went into the forest to cultivate or practice meditation, but they were disturbed and frightened by certain spirits. Whereupon they return and report the matter to the Buddha. The Buddha then advised the monk to go back to the same place, but armed with the thoughts of metta, or loving kindness, for their protection. That's why this sutta is called Karaniya Metta Sutta. So armed with metta or loving kindness for their protection, the Buddha then delivered this sutta to teach them how to practice this metta or loving kindness. The monk then returned to the jungle and radiated their loving kindness or metta to those spirits. And thereafter, they continued with their meditation without any hindrance. This same spirit who had earlier on created disturbance later repented and paid their respect to the monk. This is therefore an important sutta for the devotee to recite, to radiate their loving kindness to every living being. By doing so, they can overcome any disturbances, find peace and happiness for themselves, and help others to live peacefully by practicing this great virtue. So this particular sutta is very unique. The opening stanza, he explained, he who is skilled in doing good and who wish to attain the state of calm, that is enlightenment, nibbana, should act thus. Interested or not? Yeah? Ah, that's why the deva, all these non-human, all interested. Well, this one only the Buddha know. So, he who is skilled in doing good. So the first criteria is what? You must follow the advice of the Buddha and develop it skillfully in doing good. Yeah? And who wish to attain the state of calm, which is enlightenment, nibbana, you should act thus. So the first condition is skill in doing good. Means follow the two advice of the Buddha. Avoid all evil, do good. Then you live your life this way, he said. He should be able, upright. See? Again, upright, righteous. So don't underestimate this virtue. You have to have this parami, the upright conduct. Then the next one is, wow, lagi emphasize, oh, perfectly upright. Oh. You cannot just upright, oh, perfectly upright. Oh. Obedient, gentle, and humble. So check, how many of these qualities do you have? Yeah. Then the next one is, contented, easily look after. That is not a burden to others. That is how you should live your life. Then few duties, with few duties. How many of you have achieved this one? Yeah? No need to work already. Few duties, your children. Oh, wow, we sadhu, retire already. Very good. Sadhu. Many of us, we can. But you all say, I still got to work, relative. I still need this, need that. Then after your children all graduate already, your grandchildren. Before that, you say, my children need go university, overseas education. I still need to work. Need to work. But if you want to develop enlightenment, realization, you must have few duties. Simple in livelihood. Can or not? Sadhu, very good. Like me, I don't wear anything. Oh, sorry. I don't wear anything expensive, branded, and all those things. Sorry, make a mistake. I don't wear anything. How can? So, simple in livelihood. Then, restrain in the senses. Can you do that? You must have sati sampajana, isn't it? Daily mindfulness, isn't it? Then you can have sense restraint. So, restrain in your senses. Then, discreet. Not impudent. You know what is not impudent? Not rude. Don't simply insult people. Understand or not? Then you are not greedily attached to family. Can or not? Our Queenie knocked the head. Can. Now Mei Xiang, she got her life. Why worry? Oh, you have this year once a week, maybe, see? You can have this, you are already very good. Not greedily attached to family. Means you don't have major attachment. Yeah, very good. Wow, sadhu, wow, you know the Dhamma. She said she gave them a lot of freedom. She never interfered their life, which is very good. Yeah, sure lah, such a mother, how not to be okay? Very good. Then he should not commit any slightest wrong. Can I? Should not. Oh, now can. Oh, sadhu, sadhu. We rejoice. Huh? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Oh, there is a qualification. Don't worry. That's why she can. He should not commit any slight wrong so that other wise men might find fault with him. See, this one easy. This one can. May all beings be happy and safe. May their hearts be wholesome. This is metta. Understand? You must have metta. May all beings be well and happy and safe. Yeah. Free from enmity, free from ill will, free from all suffering, physical and mental. So you should read it. Then may their hearts be wholesome. But I use the other one. I say, may there be joy, may there be peace, and may there be love within their heart. So this is very, very beautiful. That's why I always recite this when I teach you all my spirit method and metta. Then the next one is, whatsoever living being they are, feeble or strong, long, stout or medium, short, small or large, seen or unseen, those dwelling far or near, those who are born and those who are to be born, may all beings, without exception, be happy-minded. So this is the metta radiating to all beings. That's why the spirit all very happy. They receive all this metta from the monk. Then after that, the next one is, let no one deceive another nor despise any person whatsoever in any place. In anger or in ill will, let him not wish any harm to others. This one easy. You keep your precept, you can do it. You will not deceive, you will not despise, you will not get angry and harm people because you keep your precept. Next one also very easy. Just as a mother would protect her only son or child at the risk of her own life, even so, let him cultivate a boundless love towards all beings. See? You should act in the same way. It's like everybody are your children. You can love them, protect them, sacrifice for them, and give whatever you have. Let thought of boundless love pervade the whole world, above, below, across, without any obstruction, without any hatred, without any enmity. This one also very good. Then the last one. Second last one. Whether he stand, walk, sit, or lie down, as long as he is awake. See? What must you do? Queenie. Very good. I learned very fast. He should develop mindfulness. This, they say, is the highest conduct. You somehow don't want to cultivate daily mindfulness. I read again so that you go in. Whether he stand, walk, sit, or lie down, as long as he is awake. At least the Buddha is kind enough. No need to be mindful when you sleep. He should develop mindfulness, no. That's why you must reverse the light shine within and develop the seriousness of mind to develop this quality of mindfulness. Means the inner awareness, to be aware, constantly aware, ever mindful. This, they say, is the highest conduct in the here and the now. That's why you must have daily mindfulness. As long as you are awake, remember this word, you should establish mindfulness. Don't after this retreat, go back to old way. Then susah. The last one, okay. Not falling into evil means don't mix with the heedless and the deluded. Virtuous and endowed with insight. He discards attachment to sensual desire. Truly, he does not come again. Means you guarantee arahan. Understand? To be conceived in a womb. This one, sometimes the meaning very deep. You don't come back in a womb, no. But you can come back without womb. Spontaneous birth. But here what the Buddha means is no more coming back. Huh? Don't worry. Then the last one is very important. Ittena sachavajena soti me hotu sapada. By the firm determination of this truth, see? By the power of truth, may I ever be well. That's why this sutta is very, very beautiful, very important. And the Buddha really know how to use it. That's why he instructed the monk, go back. They will not disturb you after this. That's why this sutta, a lot of deva like to listen because they find it so beautiful. And this is a very good guidance for you to have the understanding to realize enlightenment. After you cultivate, if you have done it correctly, all this quality will be there. Understand? You will have all this quality. And then you know you are on the right path. If you cannot be mindful whenever you are awake, then you don't fulfill. Understand? That's why heedfulness is what? Ever mindful. Constantly meditating. And it's stated everywhere in his teaching, in his sutta. Okay. Now we can share merit, transfer merit. Then we can break off. Akasatta chya bhumata deva naga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa chirang rakantu loka sasana etta wata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhya idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo ibina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu Yawa nivana patiya sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Thank you. Pay respect and we can end.